Now, many of you are familiar with like the Soybean Bureau, the Corn Association, the Farm Council, different organizations like that. Well, let me introduce you to the Dakota Cannabis Club, a member-driven association that provides professional assistance to the cannabis industry, plus representation at the state capitol. The future of North Dakota's cannabis industry is being set today, with laws and rules under development that will define how the business can operate in the future. DakotaCannabisClub.com. That's DakotaCannabisClub.com.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Today we talk with Roger Johnson, the president of the National Farmers Union, about hemp. Plus, Emily Snooks from XTO Energy. Patrick Stedman, state senator from Colorado, explains life and culture before and after legalization of marijuana. Plus, Eric Hatch talks about Hatch Coaching and how transparency is needed to create a successful company today. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
So woke up this morning with something on my mind.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'll be your host today. In our next segment, On the Farm, we talk with Roger Johnson, the president of the National Farmers Union.
Roger Johnson, president, National Farmers Union.
So the first question I have for you is, what is the current status on hemp cultivation or farming in the United States?
Well, it's still illegal in terms of federal law, but there are some 28 states that have some form of hemp laws on the books. I mean, back when I was ag commissioner in North Dakota, I think majority leader Dave Munson was sort of the leader of this effort, and I think there were probably 5 or 6 or 7 different pieces of hemp legislation that were passed in North Dakota. And we did everything we could to implement them, including even coming out to a meeting in D.C., a meeting with the DEA, trying to make the case that they needed to co-sign a license that I had issued to 2 hemp farmers that were licensed pursuant to North Dakota statute. We never heard from DEA, and so those licenses remained invalid because they required a co-signature. But that sort of, so North Dakota's kind of been at the forefront of a lot of the industrial hemp efforts for many, many years, but it is now the case that many other states have passed hemp legislation, and for the first time, we actually have majority leader in the Senate, in the U.S. Senate, Mitch McConnell, who has become an advocate for industrial hemp. And so we're beginning to see some movement in terms of allowing for research and those kinds of things in the industrial hemp realm. But until the federal government passes the law saying, you know, this is not a, I forget what it is, Schedule C substance or whatever that schedule is, you are always going to be constrained in terms of our ability to grow it in any significant quantities.
In North Dakota, your former state that you were ag commissioner of, I spoke to Doug Goring recently, and he mentioned there was a 2014 something in Congress that passed that allowed farmers to do some sort of advisory, supervisory type hemp fields. Well, what type of market do you see for hemp farmers in the future?
Well, there is a fairly substantial market. It is predominantly driven by a fairly large company in California that imports all of their hemp product, both the fiber and the seed. And predominantly, it's imported from Canada, where growing industrial hemp has been legal for a long time. That was part of the reason that North Dakota was so aggressive back in the late 90s in passing this legislation, because Dave Munson farmed up pretty close to the Canadian border. This was at a time when wheat scab became a real, real serious issue, and hundreds of thousands of acres of wheat were lost and were basically burned instead of harvested because of wheat scab. And there was an awful lot of interest in finding good rotational crops, and hemp was one of those. I mean, it's a crop that very aggressively grows. It doesn't require pesticides in any significant degree because it outcompetes weeds. It generally doesn't require additional fertilizer. At least that was always the argument that was used then. And so it's a relatively low cost crop, and it's not prone to some of the diseases that were plaguing, in particular, the cereal crops back then. So that was a large part of the impetus for it. I think it was important because, in many ways, North Dakota has always been sort of the leader in terms of trying to get state legislation to permit the growing of industrial hemp.
How about when it comes to the manufacturing of it? Does the United States have a textile plant or any sort of manufacturing plant for the fiber, or is that something that farmers would have to export?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it may be that there is some ability to turn the fiber into fabrics in particular in some small ways in the U.S., but there's no major ability to do it. I think much of that is done sort of raw material is produced in other countries, and then it's brought in and turned into clothing and, you know, other uses for the fiber.
How about from your members? Are you hearing pros or cons or anything about your farmer union members?
You know, we've had strong pro-industrial hemp policy on the books in Farmers Union for many, many years. Before I got here, I've been here for 7 years. It was a part of the national policy. It remains part of the national policy. You still have folks who occasionally talk about it's not a major crop yet because it's, you know, you can't plant it. But there's interest in it, and there's hope that at some point the federal government will simply say, you know what, at least industrial hemp is a crop that ought to be permitted to be grown like any other crop, and it shouldn't have any restrictions because it is not, I mean, it doesn't have, by definition, it has less than 0.03% THC, which is the hallucinogenic drug that the marijuana industry is after. It doesn't have that, and realistically, you couldn't, you know, some of the early arguments against industrial hemp is that, well, marijuana growers are going to want to plant their marijuana out in the middle of an industrial hemp field. And the fact of the matter is that it'd be probably the worst place in the world you could plant marijuana, because those two plants would cross, and what you'd end up with is very rotten marijuana. I mean, it would end up with lower levels of THC because the industrial hemp has extraordinarily low levels, and so you'd end up with something that would largely be worthless. Besides which, the plants look so dramatically different. It's almost like the difference between wheat and flax out in the field.
To listen to the full-length interview with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
And with the waves coming up and the rain coming down, and you think, baby, we're all going down, just remember, darling, I built this boat to float.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Tom Peckscamp. To find out more about Tom Peckscamp and his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's singer-songwriter Tom Peckscamp.
So won't you come and roll that other oar with me?
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Facebook.com/thecrudelife.
Softer sea, you and me, baby.
Now, many of you are familiar with, like, the Soybean Bureau, the Corn Association, the Farm Council, different organizations like that. Well, let me introduce you to the Dakota Cannabis Club, a member-driven association that provides professional assistance to the cannabis industry, plus representation at the state capitol. The future of North Dakota's cannabis industry is being set today, with laws and rules under development that will define how the business can operate in the future. DakotaCannabisClub.com. That's DakotaCannabisClub.com.